Morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ@offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy it. This story was first published on December 15th, 2024, under the headline Worst Non-Dam-Related Flash Flood in U.S. History Happened in Heppner, Oregon. It's part one of a two-part presentation on the story of the Heppner Flood of 1903. Here we go. On June 15, 1903, a strange little article appeared in the Portland Morning Oregonian. "It is reported that a tremendous cloudburst occurred at Heppner late in the afternoon," the article states. "All communication with that town has been cut off and nothing definite can be learned." The silence must have struck the editors as ominous. Heppner was a modern 20th century town with a telegraph office and a telephone exchange. Also, by press time, they would have at least heard rumors that a massive unsanitary slug of muddy water clotted with farm animals, household goods, and other domestic debris had just gushed downhill through the towns of Lexington and Ione, following the banks of the usually tiny Willow Creek, doing considerable property damage. Lexington and Ione were just downstream from Heppner. It wouldn't be until late Sunday night, well past the hour the Oregonian was on the presses, that the outside world would start to learn the full story. At 5:20 p.m. on that sultry Sunday afternoon, a wall of turbulent, muddy water, 30 to 40 feet high, had slammed into the town, scooping up roughly a third of its buildings and killing 247 of Heppner's 1,290 residents. It was the worst flash flood disaster in U.S. history, with the sole exception of Pennsylvania's Johnstown flood, measured by loss of life. For reference, the hurricane-driven flooding that struck North Carolina in 2024, including the city of Asheville, killed 129, including 26 that, as of this writing, were still missing. The Heppner flood remains the deadliest disaster of any kind in the history of the state of Oregon. Heppner was one of the most important towns on the Umatilla Plateau at the turn of the 20th century, the Umatilla Plateau being the grassy uplands that flank the Columbia River east of Rowena Crest, about 10 miles west of the Dalles. Roads radiated out from Heppner like spokes on a wheel. It was centrally located in an excellent spot to service the timberlands in the Blue Mountains to the southeast, as well as the lush pasture lands to the south and west. It was, and still is, the county seat of Morrow County. The story of the Umatilla Plateau over the past century and a half is an interesting one, and quite a bit more germane to the fate of Heppner than you might think at first. In the 1870s, the Umatilla Plateau was a grassland, thickly covered with the bunchgrass that was native to the region. Bunchgrass was a perennial plant with deep roots. It had to be to survive in an environment that got just 20 inches of rain each year, and most of that in sudden cloudbursts. Bunchgrass had evolved on the plateau to capture these sudden blasts of moisture before they could run off, letting it soak deep into the earth where it could be drawn on during the long dry months. That made bunchgrass fabulous forage for livestock, and it wasn't long before the Umatilla Plateau was basically the sheep capital of the West. Most of the land was public, though, so there was no incentive not to overgraze it. As a result, a lot of bunchgrass got chewed down to the roots. It wasn't very fast growing, so it tended to stay that way. Sometimes it was grazed so aggressively that whole hillsides just dried up and died. Then somebody figured out that wheat could be grown there most years, depending on rainfall. So large sections of the remaining bunchgrass got plowed up so that wheat could be planted there. And that was fine for the most part. But all those bare dirt fields, bristling with tiny slips of growing wheat stalks, could not do what the bunchgrass did so well, capture water when a whole lot got dumped on them at once and hold the soil so it wouldn't wash away. Now, that was a problem, but nobody considered it a deal breaker. Folks hated to lose the topsoil when the cloudbursts happened, but they didn't really understand yet how thin the topsoil layer was and how hard it was going to be to replace it. Plus, most of the time, the rainstorms that hit the region were small. But outside of its Indian communities, North Central Oregon was a very new community. Nobody who lived there had any idea how bad it could get. until that sultry Sunday afternoon of June 14, 1903. On that day, the residents of Heppner were sweltering. It was 94 degrees and probably pretty humid because there had been a small thunderstorm earlier in the week. The thunderstorm had broken a long dry spell and had brought a little moisture, but not enough to ensure that the wheat crop survived. Everyone was hoping for a little more. And it looked like they were going to get it. As the afternoon wore on, heavy clouds started forming in the hills south of town. Then, a little after 4:30 p.m., the skies started opening up, and the first drops of rain came down on the little town. Lightning flashed. Half an hour later came hail. Big, rough chunks of ice plummeting out of the sky. Clear ice lumps the size of chestnuts, big enough to really hurt when they hit you. Residents scurried inside to escape the pounding. The hail continued hammering down on the town, making a tremendous racket. This had a lot to do with why the flood was so deadly. Not only were almost all Heppner residents in their houses when it happened, but the thunderous rattle of the falling hailstones masked the roar of the wall of muddy water and trees and boards and cattle and sheep and other flotsam when it arrived a few minutes later at the gates of their village. We'll continue the story and get the grim details of what happened when that colossal slug of filthy water did arrive in downtown Heppner in tomorrow's episode. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Say, are you an audiobook listener? And do you enjoy old pre-war pulp stories like Tarzan of the Apes and Conan the Barbarian and The Call of Cthulhu and stuff like that? Or do you like early Victorian penny dreadful fiction like Sweeney Todd and Varney the Vampire and Highwayman Dick Turpin? If so, you might enjoy the audiobooks I have out there in the world. The easiest way to find them is for the search for my name on audible.com. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.